Stand with me as we turn to John chapter 8 this evening, the book of John chapter 8. And we'll begin reading in verse 32. I'll try not to keep you too long this evening. Somebody said, man, you preached about 75 minutes this morning. I never did get finished with that sermon, I tell you. We need to cover that again. He said in verse 32, as we continue our study here, the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. He said, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my words? Ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that it is God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now Lord, this evening we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy scripture. And God, we pray here this evening that as these truths in this book, we pray that you'll burn them in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we pray tonight, we do pray for the sick. We pray, God, that you lift them up that's in our flock and among our congregation. And we pray, God, that your will to be done in each of our lives, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I read several verses here this evening, but these all kind of connect together. And now I want you to notice with me that he said in verse 32, now last Sunday night, we basically focused in on verse 31, and we focused in on the word continue, if you continue. Now, he says in verse 32, and he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want you to notice in verse 33, they answered him, said, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, let me speak to you for a few moments this evening on the subject of the truth making an individual free. Now, as we come through the Scriptures, and especially in the book of John, and you may want to refresh your memory and jot these verses down again, but Jesus Himself said in John 14 and verse 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we find then that Jesus Christ is the truth. This is basically Christian religion. We find not only that is Jesus the truth, John 1:14, but we find that the Word is called the truth in John 17 and verse 17. He says, sanctify them through thy word. He said, thy word is truth. And then we find that in John chapter 16 and verse 13, we find that the Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. So Jesus is the Word. We find that the Word of God is truth. Jesus, rather, is the truth and the Word. And then we find the Spirit of truth. Now, I want you to notice with me that as we turn away from this passage for a few moments, turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 23. Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 23. Now, the Lord had been speaking to them, and we find that He begins showing a separation between the true disciples and the false disciples. But He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they said, "We've never been in bondage." Now, they were in bondage. You've heard me say this many times, they were in bondage to their sin. They were in bondage to Judaism. And they were in bondage to the Roman government. Three areas that they were in bondage at the time that Jesus spoke unto them. They said, we've never been in bondage. We're Abraham's seed. What are we here today? We tell people, say, well, you're a sinner. You're in bondage to sin. You need to be saved. They said, well, I don't need to be saved. I'm all right. And they got their reasons for being all right. We had Matthew and I had, I think it was two weeks ago, on the island, a man from a particular denomination. He said, my family's been in this denomination, what, for 200 years? And he says, we got a tradition going on, I'll stay with that. Had no idea what it meant to be saved and what Christ accomplished for him at Calvary's cross. Now, you'll notice with me that as we turn, where did I tell you to go? Proverbs chapter 23. Now I want you to notice this. We find that in chapter 23, he says in verse 23, he says, "Buy the truth." Now salvation is free. We know that. It's the gift of God. But I want you to understand that truth will cost you something. You've got to want it. You've got to desire it. You've got to put out an effort. If you want the truth, in other words, you're going to have to read your Bible on your own. You're going to have to pray and ask God for truth. You're going to have to go to church as God has commanded us to do so. So we find that the truth, it does cost us something. We find that he says, "You buy the truth and sell it not." Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So he says, buy the truth. In other words, obtain the truth. Get a hold of the truth. But I know here, according to this verse, that the truth can be sold. We can compromise the truth. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59. In Isaiah chapter 59. So we don't want to compromise the truth. We don't want to sell the truth. Notice with me in the book of Isaiah in chapter 59. Now I want you to hang on to Isaiah because we're going to go to another chapter in Isaiah. Now keep in mind the Lord Jesus made the statement and He said, "Ye shall know the truth." Now He's talking to Abraham's seed, the physical seed of Abraham. He's talking to the people that He had made the promises, given them the covenants. He gave them the law. He gave them the animal sacrifices. And keep in mind that He's talking to them. And He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to these Jews, He's saying that you are in bondage. You're in slavery to sin, and you need to be freed. Well, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 59, we find that in verse 14, I challenge you to read the entire chapter because it's dealing with the condition of Israel. But we find here that in verse 14, he said, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth," notice, "is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Now again, if you back up to this chapter, you'll find that he said in verse 2, "Your iniquities have separated you between you and your God." And he says, "Your hands are defiled." In verse 3, he begins listing their sins. They had rebelled against God. But in verse 14, he says that truth is fallen in the street. There's some places you can go and you can find trash just thrown out everywhere. In other words, truth has been thrown in the street. Notice with me as we come to Isaiah chapter 61. You think it's bad here, you ought to go certain places in other countries, like in areas in Honduras and places like that. Trash just thrown everywhere. We can ride up and down their streets and we see trash. People don't want to put it in a bag. They want to leave it in their car. It goes out the window. And so we find trash up and down our highways. Well, he's saying that truth is thrown out into the street as someone would throw trash out. In other words, it's of no value to them. Notice in Isaiah in chapter 61, reading in verse 1. Now this is a passage that the Lord Jesus Christ quotes. We'll actually turn to that as well. But He said in verse, this is the prophecy given to the Messiah. And He said in verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn." This is a prophecy of what Messiah would do when He come. Turn with me to Luke, in the book of Luke, and notice with me in chapter 4. In the book of Luke, in chapter 4. Now, we're talking about the truth shall make us free. And it does. It frees us from the slavery of sin. It delivers us from that. Now, again, there's many passages to illustrate this throughout the Word of God. Romans chapter 8. Deals with the fact of our freedom in Jesus Christ. We're no longer in bondage, but we're free in Christ. The Bible in Romans chapter 6 says that in verse 14 through 17 that we once had served sin, but now righteousness. In other words, again, a comparison between those who are saved and those who are lost. In Romans 7, verses 6 through 8, He also deals with the same thing. We find that sanctification and salvation is based upon truth. So this is why it is important that we know the truth, that we get the truth. Why? Because it frees us, it delivers us from the slavery of sin. John Husk lived between 1370 and 1415. He was the Bohemian martyr. And here's what he said about the truth. He said, "Seek the truth, listen to the truth, teach the truth, love the truth, abide by the truth, and defend the truth unto death." And that's exactly what he did. We have a video in the library. How many of you have seen that on John Huss? And anyway, he defended the truth. He loved it. He preached it. He taught it. And he defended it unto his death. He never recanted of the stand that he had taken for the truth. Even when they told him that if he would recant, that they would not put him to death, he still stood for the truth. Notice with me in Luke chapter 4. This is after the Lord's baptism. This is after the Lord's temptation. In Luke chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. He says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his customs was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Now notice what he did. The Bible said in verse 17, "And there were delivered unto him the book of the prophet of Isaiah." That's Isaiah, where we just read in the Old Testament. It said, "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me.'" Now the reason, by the way, I'm reading these two passages together. Notice the deliverance, the message of deliverance and freedom in Isaiah and Luke. He says here, "Because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The word gospel means good news. He said, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." To preach, notice, deliverance to the captives, those who are held by the slavery of sin and held by the devil. And he says, "And the recovering of sight to the blind," notice, "and to set at liberty them that are bruised." So we find liberty and deliverance and freedom in the message that the Lord is to preach when He was to come. He said in verse 19, "And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Look at this in verse 20. "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" What did the Lord come preaching? He came preaching freedom and deliverance to those that would listen unto him. Now I want you to go with me this time to Matthew chapter 3. Now, what did the children of Israel say when he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free"? They said, "We've never been in bondage." They said, "We are Abraham's children." Well, let's take a few verses on this and make note of this. They were Abraham's physical seed, without any doubt. They were. And by being Abraham's physical seed was not a ticket into heaven, but it was a privilege of being able to hear the truth. They had an advantage. The Bible said in Romans, what advantage did they have? The advantage they had is that they had the truths in the Word of God. And Jesus came to that nation. He first ministered unto that nation. You see, you that are in this church that have children, these children have an advantage over children that do not have Christian parents. Why? Because they have the Word of God in the home, they're carried to church, so they have an advantage. And that Jew had an advantage in the sense that they had the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 3, notice here, we find that as we begin reading in verse 7, this is John the Baptist as he begins his ministry, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 7, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Now notice he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He's talking to the seed of Abraham, the physical seed. And he calls them a generation of vipers. Notice in verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm this, or I'm that, you see. Well, some may even say I'm American, think you're going to get to heaven because of saying that. But they said here, we have Abraham to our father. And for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. And by the way, he did raise up children unto Abraham. You and I fit into that category. He goes on to say, I indeed baptize you with water and repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than thou, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So the Lord say, he calls the seed of Abraham, the physical seed, he calls them a generation of vipers, and he says to them, you need to be saved. Turn with me to John chapter 1. You see, they trusted in blood rather than the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Savior. Notice in John chapter 1 this time, they trusted in their ancestry. Their lineage. Yes, their lineage gave them an advantage, but it did not save them. In John chapter 1, reading in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The word power has the ideal of right or privilege. And he says here in this passage, even to them that believe on his name. Now look at this. Notice this, which were born. Notice we're born of God, the latter part of the verse, but he said, which were born, not of what? Blood. And then he says, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So these descendants of Abraham, the blood, the flesh, did not accomplish anything for them. They needed to be freed. And the Lord here says to them that we're born again of God, and not of the flesh, not of blood, nor of the will of man. Turn to the book of Galatians in chapter 3. In Galatians and in chapter 3. Every sinner is a bond slave. Notice as we come to the book of Galatians and in chapter 3. Let me begin reading from verse 26. Now who are the children of God or the seed of Abraham in the time in which we live? Alright, who is it today? He said in verse 26, talking to the Gentile church, he said, for ye are all the children of God by faith. Now you and I were never in the lineage. It wouldn't do us any good if we were in it unless we get saved. He says, notice, by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, notice, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Who's the seed of Abraham today? You and I are the seed of Abraham because we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 6 and notice here. We find in Galatians 6 and verse 15. Notice this, he said in verse 15. He said, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision," notice, "availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." He says in verse 16, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God." We are the Israel of God today by faith in Jesus Christ, the spiritual heirs, the spiritual seed of Abraham. Now go back with me to John 8. We're never going to get very far like this. But notice in John 8, he's talking to the seed of Abraham. He's talking to the Jewish people. And he says in verse 32, he says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In verse 33, "And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And again, they were enslaved to sin at this present time. Now, the Bible talks about servants of sin. I done gave you a verse a moment ago in Romans 6, verses 14 through 17. But there's other passages in the Bible. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, we find that when he talks about in verse 33 and 34, look at this, verse 33, he said, "They said unto him, We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man." Verse 34, "And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin," notice, "is the servant of sin." Now what is he saying? Now last Sunday night we spent an entire sermon on the word continue in verse 31. This morning we talked about overcomers versus the world. Now what is he saying here in this passage? In verse 34, the middle part of that verse, "Whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." Now we're not talking about sinless perfection. We're not talking about making mistakes. That's not what we're talking about. We all live in the flesh and we deal with the flesh. And we are subject to making mistakes. We find the saints of God throughout the ages have done that. You read Hebrews chapter 11. You read the stories of the great men of God, Abraham. Well, the Lord doesn't mention his mistakes in Hebrews 11, but you can go back and read in Genesis and find some bad decisions that he made. The Bible talks about Moses and praises Moses, Hebrews chapter 11. Why? Because he was a saint of God. But we know that because of one sin in the Old Testament, he did not get to go into the promised land. What he's dealing with in this passage, and I want you to get a hold of this, and as the more that you study the Bible, the more that you will see this. He says in this passage, in verse 34, in the middle of that verse, he said, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And then he says, "And the servant," in verse 35, "abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." Now I could take off tonight, and I don't want to spend too much time with this, but I could take off tonight and begin running many verses on this. There is a line that is drawn between the saint and the sinner. Now we as saints, we sin, but we have an advocate with the Father. There is a distinction between saved and lost in the Bible, and we dealt with that last week with that one little word, continue, or other words that match up with it, like the word abide and the word remain. In other words, as I talked to you this morning, who is it that overcometh the world? It's the individual that has genuine faith. And that's what he's talking about here in this passage in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, if you're taking notes. Romans 6 verses 14 through 20, I've already given you that once. In John chapter 3, I want you to turn back there with me in verse 19. In John chapter 3 And notice with me in verse 19. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ again is making a clear distinction between the true disciples of God and those who are lost. In John chapter 3, we began reading in verse 19. Look at this. He said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth..." Now look at this here. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. And he says that neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." We find that we're not talking about stumbling or making a mistake or whatever. We're talking about, in these verses, we're talking about the committing of sin, the living in sin, the commissioning of it, the abiding in it. In other words, the habitual living in sin and loving it. There's a clear distinction between the two. The saint of God may be like David. He falls into sin, but he becomes the most miserable person on planet Earth, until he confesses that and gets that right with God Almighty. There's others could do the same thing, enjoy it, and never have any conviction because they're not a new creature. They do not have a divine nature. I want you to turn back with me to John 8 and notice here. In John chapter 8, now notice with me in verse 35. He says in verse 35, he said, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." Do you see what he's doing? He's not pointing at you and saying, now you better be careful, you're going to lose it. If you don't read exactly a number amount of chapters tomorrow morning when you wake up, that's not what he's saying. He's comparing those who are saved with the lost, and he's showing the difference between the two, that the truth abides in one. They're free. They can rise above this habitual sin and so forth now because of Christ dwelling in them. And he's talking about the distinction between a son and also a servant. Now notice as we read these, and I'll just make some comment. You see, slaves have no permanent relation with the family or in the house. Are you following me? But, you see, servants have no claim to remain continually in the same family. They do not have a fixed inheritance and position like a son has. And that's what he's talking about here in these passages. Notice, he says in verse 36 again. Well, verse 35, the servant, in verse 35, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Simply a contrast between sons and slaves. You see, one is permanent and the other is not. Notice in verse 36, if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. In verse 37, notice this again. He says here in verse 37, by the way, Romans chapter 8, we need to go there and read just a couple of verses. Notice in Romans chapter 8, this will bring this home just a little bit better. In Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, I have been hot all day, and I've just about lost my voice a couple of times a day. And as far as I know, I'm not sick. I guess it's conviction. But notice with me as we come here to Romans chapter 8. Now look at this. In Romans 8, let's begin reading in verse 12, talking about saved people. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Now look at the verses. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God..." We're talking about, by the way, freedom and liberty, are we not? "In comparison to slavery and bondage..." He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now look at this closely in verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's a difference between sons and servants, you see, between saints and sinners. Notice with me carefully as we go back to John chapter 8, in the book of John and in chapter 8. Now again, there's many other verses we could turn to about heirs an inheritance, and this thing about adoption and genuine faith and inheriting as you and I will the kingdom of God. The Bible says in John 1:12, we read a few months ago, we're begotten of God. We're adopted into God's family. And so there's a difference between our standing now as sons, as a part of God's family, as being children, as the servants. Now notice he says here in verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now we go back to the story. Now look at this. He said, I know that you are Abraham's seed. Physically speaking, they were descendants of Abraham, just like many of those that are in Israel today. He said, but you seek to kill me. Now we've already, in the Bible, in John 5:16 and John 7:32, we've already seen that when he declared his Messiahship, they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. He says in this verse, he says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. He said, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Now we're going to see in a moment who their father is in verse 44. Those that are lost, their father is the devil. He says in verse 39, that'll get you win friends and influence people. Tell them that their father's the devil. That'll get you a long ways in this world. Amen. He says in verse 30, I had somebody the other day, preaching this morning on worldliness, I hadn't seen him in a long time and it's been and shook hands with him. They said, man, they said, how's the world treating you? I said, the world's treating me horrible. I said, but God's treating me real good. You know, and they looked at me real funny. They didn't understand that. And I had to explain it to them, which had opened a door to, you know, to witness and so forth. But he says here in these verses, he said in verse 38 and verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do, notice the works of Abraham. Hold on there and turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews and in chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11. And notice here. In Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11. Now notice Abraham. The Bible said in verse 8. Now here is Abraham. Now we that are saved, faith in Jesus Christ. God told Abraham, he said, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Did he not? That seed was ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. See? And so we are children of Abraham. Why? Because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Notice he says in Hebrews 11 verse 8, by faith. Now this is something that many of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, many of the Jews did not have. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The next verse says Sarah did the same thing and says these all in verse 13 died in faith. Now go back with me please to the book of John in chapter 8. And let's look at this. Now, we're not going to get as far this evening as I planned, and that's okay, because we got to the Lord's coming to finish this. But I don't want to just drag it out, but I also don't want to get in a hurry either, because there's a lot of good things here. Now, notice back, as we come here, now he said in verse 39, "And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If Abraham were if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." In other words, they would have faith. The Bible tells us in John 8 that Abraham looked unto the day of coming Messiah, not the people he's talking to. Abraham had faith. Abraham obeyed God. Abraham believed. God told Abraham, said, "The stars, your children are going to be as the stars of heaven." Abraham said, "I believe it." He said, "Your children are going to be as the sand of the sea." Abraham said, "I believe that." And God accounted righteousness to him because of his faith. Abraham was the man years later in Genesis 22 that God says, "Sacrifice your son." And Abraham took his son, carried him up on the mount, and was ready to kill his son because Hebrews chapter 11, about verse 19, 20, 21, says that Abraham believed that if he'd kill the son, that God would have raised him from the dead. That is faith. And Abraham did the works of God. He not only had faith, when God said leave, he left. Now, he says in verse 39, "And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to him, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." In other words, they're totally contrary in their beliefs and their actions to Abraham of the Old Testament. Then in verse 41, "You do the deeds of your father." Then said they unto him, "We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God." And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He had sent me." Last Sunday morning, I preached a message about Christ coming in the flesh and showing again the difference between the saved and lost and what we believe. You see, those who are truly saved, they believe the written Scriptures. If you had been living in the days of Jesus Christ, you were a believer, you would have latched on to every word that He says, and you would have said, "I believe that. I believe that He's the Son of God," just as you do here today. When Peter writes his letter, 1 Peter chapter 1. There's a fascinating, I'm not asking you to turn there, but there's certain verses that always has been fascinating to me. But I want you to listen to what he said. He's talking about the Lord and so forth. And then he says, "Whom having not seen." In other words, he's saying to the people he's writing, Peter had seen the Lord, but these people he's writing to had not seen the Lord. He said, "Whom you have not seen, you love." You love someone you've never seen. He says, "In whom though now you see him not, you believe." And he said, "Yeah, and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." He's saying, you've never seen the Lord, but you love him, you believe on him, and you rejoice in what he accomplished for you at Calvary. That is still true today, 2,000 years later, here in this church and around the globe. There's people today that's never seen Jesus Christ, but they believe on Him, they love Him, and they rejoice in the truths about the Messiah. Well, you see, that's different than the mentality that these Jews, not all the Jews, but many of these Jews had in the days of the Lord. You find here in verse 43, we're going to close here in just a moment, I'll come back and recap on some of this next week. But notice in verse 43, that we have this. He said in verse 43, "Why do you not understand my speech?" Even, now here's the answer. He asked the question, here's the answer. "Even because you cannot hear my word." They cannot hear his word because they will not hear his word. It's not that they don't hear his voice. And it's not that they don't understand what he's saying. But it's that they will not obey what He said. Chapter 7, verse 17, when we came through there. chapter 6 and verse 60. Many disciples, the Bible says, they turned and followed Him no more. In Matthew 13, verse 11, many would hear, but they didn't hear. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9, there are those that would hear, but they couldn't hear. Why? It's because they did not want to hear. In Romans chapter 8, that we just read a moment ago, there are two households. There is the household of faith, that God is their Father. There's the household of this world, of the devil, and He is their Father. We find that in John chapter 10, I believe we read this last week in verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's comparing the Pharisees and the scribes and those who rejected Him with what? His sheep. And He said, "My sheep hear My voice." Did He not say that? And He says, "And I know them, and they do follow Me." Again, a comparison between the two. In verse 44, now look at this, we're going to close in these verses, but I just want you to think about these. He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father," notice He said, "you will do." Now think about that. Think about what He's saying. You marry a lost person, by the way, the devil's going to be your father-in-law. Amen. Have you ever thought about it that way? Some of you need to think about that now. Think about who you're going to marry. And make sure you marry a Christian. But notice He said, now, and I'm going to come back and get back on this a little bit. But look at this. Let me close. Let me read these verses, make some comments. We're going to close. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Plain and simple. "And the lust of your father you will do." The world is going to do this. Remember 1 John 2:19? I didn't get to that verse this morning, but I mentioned after the service. They went out from us because they're not what? Of us. There's a clear distinction between saved and lost. He says He was a murderer from the beginning. Romans 5:12, Genesis 2:17. "And abode not in the truth." He had the truth, was in the truth at one time, but He abode not in the truth. "Because there is no truth in Him. When He speaketh a lie, He speaketh of His own, for He is a liar and the father of it." He's the originator of it. So when we lie, we're imitating the devil. He said in verse 46, "And because I tell you the truth, you believe Me not. Which of you convinces Me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe Me?" Let's close in verse 47. And as I close, I want you to keep in mind what I said this morning. I compared Peter and Judas and saved and lost. Peter may have denied the Lord. We read about that in Matthew before, the cross. But as we read over, headed toward Pentecost, where do we find Peter? We find him with the flock of God. Why? Because he's a saint. He's a sheep. He has that divine nature within him. He has something that Judas never had. He says in verse 47, "He that is of God." Now he just got through saying in verse 43, "You do not understand My speech, even because you cannot hear My word." In other words, you will not hear My word. Then he said in verse 47, "He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." You see, there's that clear distinction again between those who are saved and those who are lost. And we're going to come back and we're going to get back into verse 44 again next Sunday night. We got at least one, maybe two more weeks in John chapter 8. And would you stand with me this evening?